Whew, that's loud. It's got to be extra loud for me because I like to speak low sometimes. Shabbat shalom, everyone. My sister Morgan must have jinxed me or something. She said, don't stutter. And it already happened. The Father is so good. He is so good. The Word's been absolutely phenomenal. And He put it into my spirit this week whenever I was petitioning Him and asking Him, Father, where do You want me to go? Lead and guide me. He said, it's sowing season. And I already gave them the warning, and y'all already know, I get emotional, and tonight's going to be a real emotional night, but the Father's good, and He said, it's sowing time, because that's what we're here for, is to sow seed, His seed, to be able to speak life into individuals' lives that need it, and a lot of times we don't realize how much we need it until we hear it. Yeah, it's gonna be hard. Look at all of y'all. The Father is so good. And we've been in this Word, and we've been in chapter 48 for a while, and that seems to be the theme. We like to hang out and really pick apart every single part of the Word whenever it comes forth. Because whenever we look at the Father's Word, we gotta be able to see it the way that He wants us to see it. He wants to make sure that we're in a position to be a seed after His Son. That Son that died for each and every one of us and gave us an opportunity at life. That same Son that changed my life when I was broken and lost. And I didn't know what to do with my life anymore. So I cried out, not knowing how any of it worked. And I can tell you right now, it's been the best thing that ever happened to my life. And I'm telling you, it's worth every second. Because even in the suffering, He's there. And He takes you through each and every step. Amen. And before we dive into the seed sowing, there's a little bit, because as we go through this, we gather notes. And we ask the Father what it is that we need to bring forth. And sometimes it's stuff that might have been repeated already, but we like review. Amen. We like repetition because it's good for the soul. It's good for the being. But we're in Genesis 48. We've been looking at the model of the life of Joseph. And it has been absolutely phenomenal. And it's a reflection of the One that died for us, of the One that's sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. And I'm going to just give another one. I wrestled with wanting to do a review, starting from the beginning with Joseph, all the way till now. I said, we definitely don't have time for that. I'm going to just let Him lead and guide. Because that would be the service. But we're in 48, and it's labeled, Yaakov blesses Ephraim and Manasseh. And in verse 1, it says, and after these events, it came to be that it was said to Joseph, see, your father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And if y'all don't know, Yaakov is 147 years old at this point. And he is reunited with his favorite son that was ultimately rejected by his brothers. And that through the rejection, the father had his hand over an entire situation from the pit to servitude in Potiphar's house, then from the prison to the palace at the right hand of Pharaoh. I don't know about y'all, but that sounds like a pretty good promotion. But only the father can orchestrate and do these things. But meanwhile, all this time is passing by and the father is orchestrating and doing these things for the benefit of Joseph's family, the family that had rejected him. In the same way, through our sin-like nature, rejected the one that died for us, but ultimately was able to conquer all the tribulation and be at the right hand of the Father and give us access to be able to receive what it is that the Father has for us. And those are just beautiful reflections, because throughout Scripture, it's always pointing to Yeshua, It's always pointing to the Father's love for us through what He was willing to do with His Son. And I know I said I wouldn't do a review, but that was probably the quickest review I could do right there. Mm-hmm. But we're at a pivotal moment, a prophetical moment that we've been looking at, and it's absolutely phenomenal. Verse 2 says, "And Yaakov was told, 'See, your son Yosef is coming to you.' And Israel strengthened himself and sat up on the bed." And there were some notes that I had already had prepared for spiritual encouragement, because we were taught in the text, whenever Yaakov has that name change, because the father had named him Israel, but he also addresses him as Yaakov, his birth name. It's a representation of either dealing with the flesh state or the spiritual state. So that's a key that we have to see whenever it's pertaining to the spiritual state. And Yaakov was told, "See, your son Yosef is coming to you," and Israel strengthened himself. The spiritual side, the covenant side, the side that wants to walk step in step with the Father, was strengthened. And that has to come from a spiritual strengthening. Because there's a lot of things in this life that we're going to be tested with. There's a lot of things in this life that is literally going to cause us to be wore out. I remember before I had completely gone on this journey, going from Connecticut all the way back down to Louisiana. The Father brought me back here. And I'm thankful, because I remember the words I once said before when I left here. "I ain't ever coming back. There's a whole world to see." But you know how the saying goes, "Ain't no place like home." And the Father will lead and guide us in certain directions if we're willing to trust. And at that time, I knew absolutely nothing, but I was broken. I was wore out, because I was constantly trying to fix all the problems that we ever faced growing up on my own. Always trying to fix and figure out how to make everybody happy. How to do things only God can do. Because it has to take something from within that works its way outside, that will ultimately strengthen us to be able to get through this life. Now, we do practice the Hebrew and looking at... I told you I'm going to be here. I'm going to be a mess tonight. Thank you. You're so good. We look at the Hebrew, and that strengthen is hazak, and we've had that. We're well taught in that. Now, I'm not going to go into the complete depth of it. I'm just going to breeze past this one, because we have to get through this material. But it says, "To fasten upon, hence to seize, be strong, figuratively courageous, causatively strengthen, to cure, help, repair, to fortify." It's speaking about genuine strength, but in a spiritual aspect. I have some notes that I took down with different scriptures that we can look at that really emphasize the impact of spiritual strength. What I have here are some powerful verses that speak directly to spiritual strength, the inner power, renewal, and might that come from God through faith, hope, waiting on Him, and reliance of His Spirit. These are among the most commonly referenced scriptures on the topic, drawn from both Old and New Testaments. And this is pretty recent. Isaiah 40, 29-31 says, "He gives power to the faint, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait on Yehovah renew their strength. They raise up the wings like eagles. They run and are not weary. They walk and do not faint." This beautifully describes how waiting and hoping in Yehovah leads to a renewed spiritual endurance and evaluation and elevation above weariness. And whenever I was going through this, I was reminded of certain moments. Moments that y'all don't know about. But whenever I turned my life over, all hell broke loose. All hell absolutely broke loose. Because the enemy doesn't want us to know him. The enemy wants us to just go about our life lost, tired, confused, and continually questioning. Am I doing the right thing? Is this enough? Am I making people happy? You just end up exhausted. But the Father showed me through all that hell breaking loose, having the whole debacle with my grandmother, ending up homeless, living out my truck at Joshua's Marina, living in a shipping container, going here, going there, but still showing up here. Trust me, they know. I wasn't saying a peep. I was just showing up and sweating. I remember where I used to sit way back there, sweating. I'm sweating. Right, I am. I'm still sweating. I'm snotting, sweating, and crying. But I mean, just going through it. But the beautiful thing is, it's a testament to this right here. The fact that he genuinely gives us strength in our weakest moments.
Right. Amen.
That is a spiritual strength that surpasses all understanding. Because I remember once then, when I was once before homeless, without the Father, without the guidance, I didn't have the strength. I succumbed to a lot of different things to try and avoid the pain that I experienced through all that. But I'm telling you, the Father is so good that throughout all that, as his word would go forth and I would receive it, all I could focus on is, well, it sounds like if the righteous are going to suffer, but avail us much, then I got something good waiting around the corner. Put me on the fast track. Ended up with a job. We ended up with a home, vehicles, everything. Pretty much almost all paid for. Yeah. Yeah, brother. And an amazing wife. Because I'm sure I told that story. You get what you pray for. Right. I prayed for somebody that was going to give me the truth. Amen. And he gave me someone that gives me 110% of the truth. The 10% we're still trying to work on because it's a little unnecessary. But it's all a testament to the fact that it's this life can be very tiresome. It can be very, very tiresome. But the Father, he literally carries us through it. And in our hardest moments, in our moments where we are feeling like 147 years old, the Father can give us the strength to get through anything. Amen. And also have the right attitude. Because we can make it, but we don't want to act like a bulldozer through every moment that we are faced with. Some more scripture, Isaiah 41. Verse 8 through 10. But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham who loved me, whom I have strengthened from the ends of the earth and called from its furthest parts and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not look around, for I am your Elohim. I shall fortify you. I shall also help you. I shall also uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. And that's a comforting promise of Jehovah's active strengthening and support in times of fear or weakness. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. We're just looking at 10 through 13. And that's probably one of the hardest things whenever we're putting together a study is because we know there's a whole lot of context. And, you know, try to want to go through each and every little part. But staying up to par on inner strength and the benefits of serving the Father and being in covenant with him. These are all reflections of it. And I rejoiced in Yehovah greatly that now at last your concern for me has revived again, though you were concerned but had no chance. Not that I speak concerning me, for I have learned to be content with whatever state I am in. You know, and that's one of them pausing verses, because you pause and let that marinate. Not that I speak concerning need, for I have learned to be content in whatever state I am. Right. And that speaks volumes, because we could be going through it, but when we know him, when we have developed a relationship with him, when we have committed our lives to him, because it's one thing to have knowledge and know that God exists, but it's a whole nother thing to know him, to walk in his ways, to follow the path that he has directed us on. Like the message we received on Shabbat, when Pastor pointed out the importance of the way. Whenever we follow his ways, align ourselves with his will, and trust, and learn how to accept the change around us, we also develop a spiritual strength that allows us to be content in whatever situation we may be facing. Because at the end of the day, we all have our struggles. We all have the different things that we're looking at and facing. Could be health-related, finances, just goal-oriented, school, all those things. All those things can be wearisome. But the beautiful thing is accepting the Father and allowing him to strengthen you from the inside out. You're not in the Mardi Gras getting mad and saying a whole lot of stuff that you know you shouldn't be saying. Reacting out of the flesh. And then what we're learning is, it's the year of Almighty Yah. We have the pay and the tav. The pay represents the mouth. And we have to speak life. We have to speak life. I'm sure y'all got it pretty tired of me saying, you need to watch what you say. Our words have meaning. You don't want to speak certain things into fruition. But that's because we have power and authority with our tongue. Because the word says life and death is in the tongue. The Father is so good. Let's move. I'm chuckling to myself because there's moments whenever things go forth, I'm reminded of this note, that note, and this, and then you want to go there, but then you're reminded to stay on track. We're going to keep on track. I know what it is to be humbled. And I know what it is to have an excess. In any and every situation, I have learned both to be filled and to be hungry, both to have an excess and to be in need. I have strength to do all through Messiah who empowers me. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10 through 12. For the rest, my brothers, be strong in the Master and in the mightiness of his strength. Put on the complete armor of Elohim, for you have the power to stand against the schemes of the devil. Because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against authorities, against the world rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual matters of wickedness in the heavenlies. And that was always my go-to verse whenever it came to my moments where I was feeling weak and getting aggravated with people, getting aggravated with how people were projecting themselves, saying certain things, and so on and so forth. And then, you know, because we can't act like we don't have those moments. We can put on a good exterior, but he cares about what's going on in the inside. But we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. There are certain things and influences that cause people to be a certain way towards you. That's why usually, whenever I'm giving advice in certain matters, I give the unpopular advice. Humble yourself before that person. Show and treat them with the kindness and respect and love that they're lacking. That's hard. That is hard. but I can attest to the fact that's the very thing that helped me with Dad. Because the Father has a way of helping you see people the way He wants you to see people. He gives you the strength to do it. Because it takes way more strength to do the bold and righteous thing than it is just to pass this lap, to hug somebody with your hands on their neck. That ain't the right hug. You have those feelings, but they'll come and go. He gives you the strength to do all things. And you got to remember, there's things out there that's influencing people. This list is, it goes a little bit, but I could always send the notes after, but let's also look at Ephesians chapter 3, and then we'll keep moving through this. But this is labeled a prayer for spiritual strength. This is verse 14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Master, Yeshua Messiah, from whom all fatherhood in the heavens and earth is named, in order that He might give you, according to the riches of His esteem, by power to be strengthened in the inner man through His Spirit, that the Messiah might dwell in your hearts through belief, having become rooted and grounded in love. Now, I can't help to get a little bit ahead of myself, but it's like I said, the Father put into my spirit, it is sowing season. Go forth and sow. In the field is where we stand, wherever we go. Tonight, I'm sowing seed. I'm sowing the Father's seed. Because it's not just by our words, but our actions too, because we got to be living reflections and representatives of the one that was set forth and gave us the perfect example and died for us. But we have to be rooted. In order that you might be strengthened, verse 18, to firmly grasp with all the set apart ones, what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Messiah which surpasses knowledge. And that's what I meant earlier. You can know that God exists. You can know that He has a Son that died for us. But you have to invite Him in to experience the love that will help you. Because it's one thing knowing, but it's a whole other thing giving yourself over to Him. In order that you might be filled to all the completeness of Elohim, and to Him who is able to do exceedingly above what we ask or think, according to the power that is working in us. To Him be esteem and the assembly by Messiah Yeshua unto all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Yeah. Like I said, there was more, but we gotta keep going. Now let's return to our main text, the foundation that we're looking at, and we're making our way to verse 11. So we're going to try and get there. But Genesis 48, verse 3. And Yaakov said to Yosef, El Shaddai appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. He's recalling these powerful moments that he had and some of his hardest moments. Because he had a twin brother. Well, you got a twin sister, but you don't have no Esau. But he had a twin brother, and that brother was wild. And he gave him a hard time. But it's always interesting to learn about it. But he was on hot pursuit, ready to take Yaakov out. Because Yaakov obtained the blessing of the firstborn. And I'm trying my best not to go through the whole thing, but we could always talk more about that later if y'all want to know about them. But he was going through it. Now he's recalling this particular moment when the Father showed forth to him in a very unique way, encouraging him. Verse 4, and said to me, see, I am making you fruitful, and shall increase you and make you an assembly of peoples, and give this land to your seed after as an everlasting possession. And now, your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born to you in the land of Mishraim, before I came to you in Mishraim, are mine. As Reuben and Shimeon, they are mine. And as we learn, that's the adoption process. That's Joseph's voice. And there's a unique pattern being established right there before our eyes, because Manasseh was the oldest, Ephraim the youngest. But within this chapter, we see a switching up of the order of the birthright blessing. But ultimately, it's a reflection of the fact that they were born in Mishraim. They had a mother who was a Mishraite. That was someone that would have not been in the direct lineage that the Father was establishing certain things. But the Father has a way of painting a beautiful picture for us. Because it's not just going to be a certain people group. It's going to be all those willing to enter in and accept and receive the covenant and the promises that come with it, that are willing to walk step in step along the path that he has established, so that way we can receive what it is that he has for us to receive, so that way we can go forth and sow seed. Because there's people in our lives that are lost. There's people in our lives that are clawing tooth and nail just to get by. And there's a lot of devices out there that people can grab onto to distract themselves, to give themselves a quick, brief moment of some kind of satisfaction. Some of us were in those areas in our lives at one point. I'm so thankful that the Father extended his arm so that way we can all have that access and that ability to be able to enter in. Verse 6, your offspring, whom you shall bring forth, after them are yours, and let them be called by the name of their brothers and their inheritance. And I, when I came from a Padan, Rachel died beside me in the land of Canaan on the way. Then there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath, and I buried her there on the way to Ephrath. That is in Bethlehem. And that was recently given to us, but I can't just bypass what the Father was dealing with, just this one thing, this one particular thing. Whenever we're on the way, whenever we're walking in his way, things are still going to happen. Loss is going to happen. But we, personally, got to experience the love of the Father through one of our hardest losses.
Thank you, Father.
And all I could do is thank him. For allowing us to be able to experience that, because loss happens unexpectedly. And nobody's ever ready for it. But the Father has his ways to help us remain on that right path. To remind us that you're going to experience these things, but I'm here for you. I knew I should have drank a lot more water today. I was already snotting and crying whenever I was in the garbage truck this morning. I'm glad you looked over at that. I forgot that was there. Thank you so much. I was crying and snotting on the garbage truck. I always get a kick out of it because I'm over here meditating and remembering the word and the things that he was showing me. And, you know, if anybody ever pulls up to the truck and questions, I'll just tell them I just dumped a big bag of cut onions in the back. You know, so, well, let's keep going through this. Verse 8. And Israel saw Joseph's sons and said, "Who are these?" Now, I enjoyed the way that was laid out, because Yaakov already made it clear, these, who are these? These are mine. But they're going through a certain specific cultural practice of the adoptive practice. And I wanted to get into that, but we're going to keep moving. And Joseph said to his father, "They are my sons, whom Elohim has given me in this place." And he said, "Please bring them to me and let me bless them." And the eyes of Israel were dim with age, and he was unable to see. And he drew near them. He kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, "I had not thought to see your face, but see, Elohim has also shown me your seed." And then, as I'm going throughout the week, as I'm looking at all the different sections, got the notes upon notes and so on and so forth, I'm doing what Brother Rob considers the risky thing, but you know, whenever we have a good example, that's one of them to make sure that we succeed in our calling and walk. You do your best to just learn how to be uncomfortable, because you gotta grow. It's gotta grow, it's gotta grow. I'm not gonna break out in song and dance. But I was reminded, it's sowing season. And I asked for a confirmation. What more confirmation you want than the first day of spring being today? I got a kick out of that. And I know that's going based off the Gregorian calendar, but sometimes we just got to be able to see whatever it is that we're being drawn to, and then it just gives you a little reminder. Go forth and sow seed. Because there will be those that water, there are those that sow, but he's the one that provides the increase. For those that are willing to receive the word, the seed, on good ground. Sowing time. And I ain't talking about knitting, Caitlin. Oh, and I have my little note right here. Just a thought. Israel, the spiritual leader, father, rejoicing at the sight of the highly favored son's seed, the offspring, is reminiscent, reflection of the father, of Father Yah's reaction to us as spiritual seeds of Messiah Yeshua. And that's one of them things when it flashed across my mind while I'm driving the truck. You're writing that down. There's moments where he gives you something and he's going to see how you respond to it. Because I needed more. I always ask for more clarity. More clarity. I have to be able to see it clear enough so that way I can explain it clear enough. But seed, back to the Hebrew, and for those taking notes, it's H2233, zerah, seed, fruit, plant, sowing time. It could also mean in the carnally, child, fruitful seed, and it mentions sowing time again. But let's look at that ancient Hebrew. It's the Zion, the Resh, and the Ayin. The sowing of seeds by scattering them across the field. And that's ultimately what I was saying earlier. Wherever we go, and we're bearing the ability to sow seed, that's the field. It's like tonight, I'm doing what the Father asked me to do. Speaking and taking action and sowing seed. Because at the end of the day, it's up to the soil to be able to receive it. And what are we made from? The soil. We got to be able to be willing to receive whatever it is, the seed that the Father is trying to sow forth in our lives. And it's based off of our willingness to be able to receive it. But this is specifically pointing out in section N, it is seed. Child, colony, fruitful, seed time, and sowing. So we also have a practice. Go to first mention as we're looking over the context. And the first mention is talking about the literal seed that was put forth. And Genesis 1, 11. 11 and verse 12. And Elohim said, let the earth bring forth grass, the plant that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it came to be so. And the earth brought forth grass, the plant that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And Elohim saw that it was good. And what I found important about that first mention was the emphasis that Elohim saw that it was good. That in the Hebrew is tov. Is dealing with functionality. He laid out everything for us. He laid out absolutely everything a gimme. And everything was functional. Everything was perfect. Everything was good. And everything produced perfectly. But because of sin, there was a different type of seed that entered into the earth, that entered into paradise. And it is reminiscent of the fact of what we deal with on a daily basis. Because if we got the trees lined up, and we had some incredible word that came from those messages, the two trees. But we decide day in and day out which one we're going to take from. One sounds good. It's convincing. It gives us knowledge of both good and evil. But it leads to death. Or you could take from the tree of life. And its simplicity and our ability to just obey what it is that the Father had asked us to do, because He wants us to function properly. He doesn't want to see us keep giving ourselves over and over to that same habitual sin that causes us to keep falling short. But if we're in a position to where we don't know, there comes a point in our life where He gives us an opportunity to know. But let's go to another mention in Genesis chapter 3. Because there's two types of seeds. It's the seed of the Father, and then there's the seed of the devil. And which I could personally attest, I once was. And if I don't make sure I keep walking on the path that He has prescribed, then I could end up in that same position that I once was if I don't just trust Him and believe in Him that He can keep me where I need to be. And I have to want it. But Genesis 3, 14 and 15. And Jehovah Elohim said to the Nahash, because you have done this, you are more cursed than all the livestock, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you are to go and eat dust all the days of your life. Now for the most part, most people know that as a serpent. And I even made a little phone call. What was the name of that show on TV? You Want to Be a Millionaire? Yeah, the phone call, or you do the 50-50. I made a phone call because I was dealing with some hash problems, and I wanted to have them in memory. So I phoned in pastor. it was amazing, because as soon as he started saying certain key things, it was starting to click and flow. I'm like, okay, yeah. I was starting to feel like, oh, I never forgot it in the first place. Now that you're done with me. But the Nahash, I wanted to draw an emphasis on that because for the most part, people just know it as a serpent. They know that, well, Eve ate a forbidden fruit. And then people make jokes about, oh, you see, you know, women don't listen to their husbands and, you know, all this and that nonsense. But in reality, Adam should have been there as a provider, a protector, watching over and ensuring and making sure all things were going properly. I gotta be careful because I'm gonna start turning this into a marriage message. But Because it also on the woman's part has to deal with submissiveness and the willingness to be able to listen to the husband and remember and remind and ask and make sure and verify before doing certain things. But of course, the world has painted such a negative outlook on the word submissiveness, and then people get offended because it's all about rising up and being much more than what you are, because you constantly feel the stress and the, all the things that come with life. Like Pastor Nikki says, when life be lifin', and all those things wear you down. But the Father has a certain way of designing things to help people come together in unity and making sure that the nahash, in the figurative sense of moving like a serpent, but being a being of light, something that they would have wanted to approach whenever he spoke to them deceitfully and was able to get Eve or Hawa to sin and ultimately Adam to follow. But I wanted to do a little brief pointing out of that, because it's interesting to know that whenever the Hebrew reveals, even with its pronunciation, you really got, now I'm very self-conscious of the stuttering tonight, Morgan. For those that didn't hear me say early on, right off the rip, before service, she told me, don't stutter, because they know I stutter sometimes. And first word out of my mouth, I stuttered. So you spoke it. But the nahash, that sound, I'm not even going to try and say the word I was trying to say. The sound even is a giving away of the way that it was figuratively acting, but it would have been a being of light, something that they would have attested to, because they were once clothed in the glory and the light of the Father, because they were sinless, and the Father wants to return us to that state. He wants us to have strength in this time of trial and tribulation and testing and all the things that we're going to deal with in life, whenever life be life, and to make sure that we're able to go forth and be right before him. But it takes a humble stance, not Sergeant Darnell stance. And that's, I'm alluding to where we're going to be going to in a little bit in Matthew's. But I couldn't help but make the Darnell joke. But every time I hear it, I say, dang Darnell. But, and I put enmity. Verse 15, and I put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, capital S seed, the promised seed, our Messiah. He shall crush your head, and you shall crush his heel. Now, part of the practice of being able to access direct contact with the Greek, they have different tools that allows us to be able to figure out what that would have been in the Greek, so we can plug that in and go to the direct areas that it was mentioning. That's a little teaching part of the portion. But the Greek equivalent is G4690 esperma, something sown that is a seed, and you can hear how it's related to zera. But I have a little note in here. Before we get to Matthew chapter 13, because that's where we're moving towards. It says, the spiritual seed sown into the lives of others is through our words, our actions, and our prayers. It takes the direct application and willingness to actually give forth the seed that we've been entrusted with. Because if we're just in this for ourselves, if we just sign up and sign our lives over to the Father and enjoy the blessings, he doesn't want us getting chunky on all of the blessings that he has given us. He wants us to be able to be a blessing and be able to sow good seed, because it's more than just getting up and stuttering in front of everybody. It's your willingness to go forth and bear fruit in all areas. In my case, the garbage truck. In my case, especially at home. Yeah, I got the thumbs up. That's wife approved. Well, thankfully the Father's patient with us. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. Y'all with me, family? Hallelujah. That felt good to say. Oh, I love y'all so much. Matthew chapter 3, the parable of the sower. Chapter 13, the parable of the sower. It's those moments that make you sweat just a little bit more. And on that day, Yeshua went out of the house and sat by the sea, and large crowds were gathered together to him, so that he went into a boat and sat down, and all the crowd stood on the beach. And he spoke to them much in parables, saying, "See, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some indeed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. And others fell on rocky places, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered. And others fell among thorns. And the thorns came up and choked them. And others fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And the taught ones came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answering said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the secrets of the reign of the heavens, but to them it has not been given." And I meditated. I thought about that just for a brief moment. We should be very thankful that we've been able to receive the prayer of having eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to want to know. Because I can't sit back and say, and this is just me saying it because this is my standpoint, my point of view. Anybody gets offended, just pray. Pray about it. But I'm just going to say that whenever it came to me and the position that the Father moved me in, I have no idea what it would have looked like if I would have ended up anywhere else other than here. I could have ended up somewhere where the word wasn't taken seriously. I could have ended up somewhere where there's some kind of deficit. And I would have went with it. This is not by my strength that I know what I know. But I'm just saying I'm thankful for the commitment and the willingness of the way the word is being exonified in a way to where it really, truly reflects the glory of the Father, so that way we can actually receive. And we should never take that for granted. We shouldn't allow church just to be one thing on our checklist that we just do throughout the week because it's just part of our routine, because we got a schedule at work, we got a schedule with school, we got a schedule with this. And just church could just be another thing on a checklist. But whenever you're able to go somewhere where there's passion, where there's love, where there's good seed being sown, so that way you make sure you're not a darnel. So you make sure that you're not a weed that grows up whenever it comes time for harvest, because those weeds know how to bow down whenever it comes time for harvest and humility, because that's what the Father's looking for. But that's another testament to the fact that we can be able to receive knowledge, be able to receive great revelation, be able to receive things. But if we don't posture ourselves right before the Father, then we're just a smart darnel. And that's why we have to do our due diligence to make sure that we walk rightly before Him. Somebody help me out. What verse I was? I scrolled without. Thank you. Thank y'all. Whoever possesses, to him more shall be given, and he shall have overflowingly. But whoever does not possess, even what he possesses shall be taken away from him. And I put a little note as a reminder. To possess something is to take hold of something. We need to take hold of His word whenever it goes forth. Amen. I think I'm about to throw something for the first time. My sister's over there turning pink. Let's move on. Verse 13. "Because of this, I speak to them in parables. Because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Yeshayahu is completely filled, which says, You shall hear and by no means understand, and seeing you shall see and by no means perceive. For the heart of this people have become thickened, and their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn back, and I heal them. I put a small note saying verse 16 and 17 are for us. And blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous ones long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. The parable of the sower explained. You then hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the rain and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away, what was sown in his heart, that is, that sown by the wayside. And that sown on rocky places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet, he has no root in himself, but is short-lived. And when pressure or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. And I underlined the no root in himself. And I just thanked the Father that he had given me a root to be able to withstand all of what that was going to take place in my life, in my own personal walk. Because it could have been easily me just chasing a moment, just chasing after the convenience of serving the Father whenever it's convenient to me. But then whenever the challenges come, whenever the hard times come, whenever the difficulties come, I would just be taken away with it if that was my stance. It's got to mean something to us. It's got to be able to show that we are the seed willing to be able to receive what the Father has for our lives. We have to be remained rooted in him. And that sown among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the worry of this age and the deceit of riches choke the word, and it becomes fruitless. And that sown on good soil is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Who came here tonight as good soil? Amen. I'm going to just outright ask it, because I know the weeks are long, and I know Friday nights are hard. But the reality is, whenever the word goes forth, we got to be good soil and be willing to receive it, because at the end of the day, it's not about me. It's about him and what he's willing to do and remind us of in our lives. Another parable he put before them, saying, the rain of the heavens has become like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed darnel among the wheat, and went away. There's darnel. I just want to read this little footnote for those that may not be able to see it. But darnel looks like a wheat, but it's poisonous to man and beast. And when the blade sprouted and bore fruit, then the darnel also appeared. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? From where then does it have the darnel? And he said to them, a man, an enemy, did this. And the servants said to him, do you wish then that we go and gather them up? But he said, no. Lest while you gather up the darnel, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I shall say to the reapers, first gather the darnel and bind them in the bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my granary. Every time I've ever read that verse, every time I've ever been in that area, It's a humbling reminder to make sure, just because we're going along to get along, we're serving, and we have those with us that we serve with, and then we may have certain moments that may take place because we have a thing called the flesh, and that we got a thing called, we got to deal with each other sometimes. Because I don't mind being up here being real. I might be monotone for the most part, and, you know, I always made the joke like monotone and melatonin kind of sounded a little same together. But the reality is, we got to make sure that we're willing to bear one another's burdens, that we're willing to not be like, well, they must be a Darnell because they're acting like one. Oh, they're getting on my nerves. Well, guess what? The Father made the same nerves that you got that they got. When we talk about the Father's nerves, I don't think we like going there sometimes. Let's just be honest. So we want to make sure that we're off his nerves and just make sure we're focusing on the right kind of nerves. Making sure that we're not quick to point the finger at anybody that we may feel a certain kind of way about. Because it's not. That's what the Messiah is legitimately going to lay out and make sure that we don't put ourselves in that position. I mean, whenever you think about the Torah portion and everything that we've been looking at, imagine if Yosef took the wrong approach. Now, I imagine the Father wouldn't even allow him to be in that position if he was going to. But if Yosef would have discluded his brothers because he wasn't able to move forth and move on and move forward, he would have just seen them as Darnell. I mean, I don't know how many of us has been thrown in a well. Or put, well, I guess I'll go there, put in prison. Nobody has to raise their hands. But, me too, brother. But the reality is, whenever it comes to those certain things, we got to make sure that we're not quick to judge. Because he could have just easily discounted them and be like, no, they're not worthy. But he held fast to the Father's promises, and he expects us to do the same if we're going to be considered the good seed that produces the right fruit in its season. Verse 31, another parable he put before them, saying, the rain of the heavens is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is less than all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the plants that becomes a tree, so that the birds of the heaven come and dwell in its branches. Another parable he spoke to them, the rain of the heavens is like leaven, which a woman took and hid 3 measures of meal until all was leavened. And I have a little chuckle moment there because my wife probably already knows where I'm about to go with it. When I was there reviewing and studying and just thinking, that kept catching my attention. And we know we love bread in this house. I'm about to start calling this place Bethlehem. That was bread. But whenever it comes to bread, we're familiar with it in the process. But I kept reading that, and I was just like, I don't understand. It just feels like it was just there. And I was just like, you know, I have to get more understanding. And usually, I just use the tools that we have access to. Google, AI, so on and so forth. We were like, you know what? I got something better than that. I'm going to ask my wife. She makes bread. My wife is an autopilot. That's usually the wrong time to ask wife something. Because I was like, what was the process? Like, I read the verse to her, and I was like, what was the process again whenever you make your sourdough and all that? Because, like, I feel like that applies here. I told her the verse, she's just staring. Sarah, it's talking about Sarah. Sarah. And then she just, I'm like, okay. That happened. So I was waiting on my recliner, and I go, hey! Can you answer my question about the sourdough? And she sent me a message. Then I made a little joke. I was like, is that AI? And no, it wasn't. It was from her notes. But that was a little funny right there. And I completely understand what she was putting down, though, about Sarah, because whenever the 3 messengers of Almighty Yah came before Abraham, he rushed on over to his tent, got Sarah to say, hey, we got 3 visitors. We need to make some bread. The measurements were laid out. And then whenever you put certain things together like that. Because like that, I knew after she had said that and I started peeking, I was like, this could turn into a whole nother message and then we can like, it'll all flow together. But then I was like, my poor, I'd be sweating. But with that being said, I did a little research and because I remember that there were certain key step processes that my wife was telling me about with the bread making process. But we're going to go through that real quick for those that may be unfamiliar with it. The bread making process in the parable. In ancient times, and still in traditional methods today, leaven wasn't modern commercial yeast, but often a small portion of fermented dough, a starter, from a previous batch, sourdough-like. A woman would take a small amount of this active leaven, hide, because remember in the verse it says, woman took and hid 3 measures of meal until all was leavened. So hide or knead, because whenever you look at the Greek word there, it's talking about the combining, the hiding, the putting together. But thoroughly into much larger quantity of flour meal, 3 measures, roughly 40 to 60 pounds or more, enough dough for bread to feed 100 plus people, evoking an abundance like a feast or hospitality offering. Mix it in until invisible, then let the warmth do the work. The leaven ferments, produces gases, kind of like what happens when you eat red beans. I'm going to stop. I'm going to get something thrown at me. and causes the entire dough to rise from the inside out. The result, what was flat, dense, and lifeless, becomes light, expanded, transformed, and ready to nourish. The process is slow, invisible at first, internal, unstoppable once started, and ultimately pervasive. A tiny bit affects the whole. How this relates to the kingdom of heaven. Yeshua uses these exact mechanics to teach key truths about Jehovah's reign. Small beginnings with massive impact. Just as a little leaven transforms a huge batch, the kingdom starts small and seemingly insignificant. Like Yeshua's ministry with a handful of disciples, but grows to influence everything. And then I paused for a minute because then I was reminded of Goshenland. And then I was reminded of certain things that are taking place within the ministry that are beginning to happen, to making sure that we're walking within the parameter of what it is that we're called to do to be a ministry to ministries. Because it's going to be the key fact of how once before, how he started it, how he started this off. It was small, hidden, and then went through changes. And then throughout this process that everything's been going through, it's been steady growing. More understanding, more knowledge, more spirit. And then now, more fellowship, more people. And it's expanding, it's growing. It is a byproduct of walking on the right way, the right path, and making sure that we are aligning ourselves with the will of the Father and showing forth good fruit because good seed was received on good soil. This process has a little more to it. So it's a small beginnings with massive impact. Internal and hidden growth. The leaven is hidden in the dough. The Greek word enkuptu. Thank you, Father. Because if that was stuttering territory, that was there. Emphasizes concealment. Enkuptu. The kingdom works quietly from within hearts and societies, not always through dramatic external displays. You can't see the fermentation happening, but the change becomes obvious. Irreversible and thorough transformation. Once mixed in, the leaven can't be removed. It permeates until all was leavened. Progressively changes individuals and the world from the inside, raising it to new life, like dough raising into nourishing bread. It's positive, life-giving effect. Here, leaven symbolizes something good. The word, the Spirit's work, or the kingdom's influence. Unlike other verses in the Bible where it represents corruption, which the example would be given, as we know, the leaven of the Pharisees, a pridefulness, the leavening that has to be removed. And now we're approaching our feast. They're around the corner very soon, be right on us, to where we're going to have that opportunity to make sure that we are checking ourselves and removing the leaven, removing the pride, removing those bad gases that take place within ourselves that kind of makes people feel a certain way whenever we respond a certain way. Don't you be looking at nobody else, sister. Don't you do that. You're going to receive it for yourself, not someone else. I'm going to call you out because you called me out about my stuttering. The end result is abundant, life-sustaining bread, picturing the kingdom, bringing spiritual nourishment and expansion. This parable pairs closely with the mustard seed, one right before it. Both show humble, small starts leading to great, undeniable outcomes. I'm going to say that again. Show both humble, small starts leading to great, undeniable outcomes. And that is the trajectory that we're on. And then we're going to be able to show forth the fruit of the Father through the seed that He has implemented into us. The bread-making imagery makes the message vivid and relatable. Yeshua's hearers knew exactly how a woman kneading dough work quietly, yet powerfully. It encourages patience. Even if the kingdom seems small or hidden now, its transformative power is at work and will ultimately affect everything. And I wanted to share that information in regards to that part of the process of him speaking about the bread. We're almost there. We're almost to that stopping point. Matthew 13:34. Yeshua said all this to the crowds and then parables, and he did not speak to them without a parable, so that it was spoken by the prophet that it might be filled, saying, I shall open my mouth in parables. I shall pour forth what is hidden from the foundation of the world. Then, having sent the crowds away, Yeshua went into the house. And he explained, and he and his taught ones came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the darnel of the field. And he answering said to them, he who is sowing the good seed is the son of Adam, and the field is the world. And the good seed, these are the sons of the rain, but the darnel are the sons of the wicked one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the messengers. As the darnel then is gathered and burned into fire, so it shall be at the end of this age. The son of Adam sent out his messengers, and they shall gather out of his reign all the stumbling blocks and those doing lawlessness, and shall throw them into the furnace of fire. They shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous shall shine forth as a sun in the reign of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. And that's where I'm going to close, but I'm also going to say this. The main reason and the trajectory of that message that the Father had me looking throughout and working on and spending time with was to express the importance that we're limited. We're limited on time. Because we do not know, and we are not guaranteed tomorrow. So with every second, with every moment, with every opportunity that we can have to draw near to Him, to receive His strength to do the right thing, because ain't nobody going to lie to me. I'm not going to lie to myself. We all have certain things that we struggle with that are hard to break away from. I'm just going to go out right and say it, because it's just the honest truth. Because none of us are trying to act perfect, but He called us to be perfect. And that's the beautiful thing about the Father, is He is willing. He is willing to grace us with forgiveness of the things that we've done and the things that He knows that we may end up getting ourselves into. But He always provides a way of access to not have to fall short, to not have to be in the category of the Darnell. Because this is not about some everybody's going to make it prosperity message. This is about a reality check. That's why I stayed here. It's because I needed a reality check. Because I didn't care about life. I didn't. I was bitter. And I was angry. I wanted to hurt a lot of people. But the Father, He said, I got you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take that heart of stone, and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. I didn't do all this crying and snotting growing up. It was a lot of fuming and steam coming off of my head. I'm sure Caitlin can attest to that. If I'm a living testimony, she can definitely testify to that. The Father makes a difference. We just got to be willing to be good soil. Hallelujah. And then whenever He sees that we're able to receive, we'll bear fruit. We'll bear forth. And we'll be able to provide seed to those in need that need it. But we have to always continually be willing to be that good soil. We have to be the seed that the Father rejoices whenever He sees. The seed of the Son that died for us and was laid to rest and then resurrected and put at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for y'all. Shabbat shalom, everyone.